Amen. Come on, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Come on. Can we say thank you to the worship team, please? Thank you, Matt Cope. Come on, B-Man. Let's go, baby. Let's go. Love Brendan, man. We are so blessed. So blessed. Come on, would you turn with me, please, to Matthew 25. Please, Matthew 25. Man, I am pumped about closing out today, last week, this week, talking on finances. I'm excited to get into the next few weeks, man. Going to the next few weeks where we are going to be preaching on a series called Reward in the Waiting. There is reward in the waiting. That will probably be about 3 weeks. And that starts next Sunday. Invite somebody. Man, don't miss this. Be here for the reward in the waiting. And just looking at, I believe there are some great things that are happening spiritually here in this church through the people of this church that are going to spread to our region in such a real way. I believe that there is light now overtaking darkness. I believe that truth is surfacing to the top of reality. I believe there's a very real reality check to all the nonsense and the lies that are being sold to our kids today, sold through media today. I believe that we are becoming stronger and strengthened as we see God doing a great work. We are seeing people become fearless and bold. We're seeing people not care what the world thinks, but just very much dialed into what God thinks and what God says, and not concerned about the opinions of man, but very concerned about what God's opinion is. He's the only opinion that matters, not politics, not popular view, not people view, not the crazy view, but God's view. And we are seeing that in power here again, and I'm excited to see where this thing goes, man. I'm excited to see what happens when you are patient and waiting on God, that there is strength in that and there's reward in that. Psalm 40, verse 31. I just want to read this coming off of worship, and it says this: yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. There is strength. Those can be strong in the waiting. And I'm telling you, man, we are in such a great place. We're seeing God do such a good work in our region, and there is a strength that's here that's coming, and they will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Man, there is reward in the waiting, and that is going to probably be about 3 weeks, maybe extended even more. We'll wait and see what that looks like, but that starts next week. Man, don't miss that. Don't miss it. And I'm excited to be preaching that starting next Sunday, 9 and 11. Come on, how's the 11 o'clock doing? You guys doing good today? You ready? Yeah. All right. 11 o'clock, got some juice. Man, I'm excited to be here. I love this house. I love this place. I love you as people. It is truly a very special place with a very, very special group of people that once again was proven through our VBS. I'm pumped about that video next week just to see everything together. And just as the pastor of the house, man, my heart is so full. And Renee and I talk often about how blessed we are. And man, I don't want anyone to take it for granted. I say this to our staff often. I say this to my family often. I say this to myself often. How many are like me that the person you talk to the most is you, right? I talk to myself all the time. I think it's all true for everyone, whether it's actually out loud, where people think you're nuts, or you actually just, you can't walk to the grocery store and talk to yourself out loud. They might think something, but I talk to myself all the time on the inside. And I just never want to take this for granted. God is doing something very real, and it's special. With the most special group of people. And I want to just thrive on that. I want to grow that as the leader. I want to see God do a tremendous work here and just continuously growing people and watch God work through people. It is something special, and we never want to take it for granted, because this is rare. And to see what God's doing in this little sliver called BC, man, God's doing a tremendous work, and we never want to take it for granted. And this is the second week we're speaking on finances, and I'm so glad that you're here today. Even coming off last week, speaking on what it is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we had a very true reality check to say, okay, what are my priorities, like financially? And then, again, when you look at what that's talking about in Matthew 6, it is dealing with wealth. It's dealing with our finances. And when you understand that, there's a reality check to say, okay, what are my priorities in life? That the checkbook reveals a lot of different things, and the checkbook reveals our priorities. Don't put your treasures here on the earth, but put your treasures in heaven. And that's an eternal reward. We talked about that account that we have in heaven. We talked about not leaving it, you know, don't make it too late to be able to give. It's important to follow biblical wisdom through Proverbs and finances. It's important to follow what it means to invest and what it means. The Bible says it's wise to leave an inheritance to your children's children. That all has to do with planning. Financial planning for the future, financial investments for retirement, financial investments for your children's children. And what does that look like? Leaving an inheritance down the road for your, like, all of that is important and it's true and it's biblical and it's wise. And we ought to plan for that. But there's also the eternal investments that we make financially into God's kingdom and doing his work that bears great fruit for an eternity, man. It is for everlasting and everlasting. And there is an account that will be settled in heaven with us to what we have done financially here on the earth. And to that, to us, I hope, my hope is that this is all really good news to you. I hope last week you left going, praise the Lord, man, I learned something, that there is an account waiting for me in heaven. I've made these great investments to the church and to the kingdom, and I'm faithful to that, and in that there's great reward for that. I hope you left encouraged, or I hope you left challenged, like a true challenge, like, okay, where are my priorities? What am I doing with my finances? Where are they going? Is the church, you know, God's work? And I mean the church, not just BC. I'm saying the church, the building kingdom. Is that truly one of my priorities? Is that the top dog, man? Am I serving in that such a capacity financially to building God's kingdom and doing his work? I hope we left challenged last week. Same thing this week, man. I'm hoping that those of us will be here this morning and watching online being like, yes, man, I love this word. I love this message. Man, there's great fruit to that, man. Well, I'm making an impact with my finances and I'm being a good steward and there's reward to that. Like, I hope that in that, man, we're coming to this place of being encouraged in our giving and saying, yes, stay on track. Keep it up. Keep going. Or I hope that it's a healthy challenge. How many know that being challenged can be very healthy? Like, I want to be challenged in the Word of God. I want God to challenge me when I'm not doing something that I ought to be doing. I want there to be a challenge in my spirit, a conviction. And I hope that it's a healthy challenge to us today in this week and last week to say, okay, I want to see things properly in a biblical perspective of finances. And we can hit a lot in 2 weeks. And then we're going to get into, you know, what it looks like for the rewards in our waiting. I'm pumped for that. So come on, let's just pray. Let's look at Matthew 25. Father, thank you so much for the day. Thank you for the hour. Thank you for the 11 o'clock. Lord, we love this church. We love these people. And God, I ask that you would just speak to us. Speak to us in this moment from your word as we know that you have given us everything and that we ought to be good stewards of that, Lord. We ought to be good stewards of that which you've given to us in Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Amen. Let me just start with a verse in Psalms 24, and we'll get to Matthew 25. I just want to read this. I want to start with us having an understanding that it all belongs to the Lord. Like, when you believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, when you can really buy into number 1:1, like when you really look at Genesis 1:1 and you buy into the fact that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, that it's all his, like you and me didn't create anything. God created the heavens and the earth and it belongs to him. I can sum that up really in one verse. When you really look at being a good steward, today we're going to talk about being a good steward, that which God gave us. Are we stewarding it well financially? And then we're going to look at when we really truly give to this church, BC, and we're giving for the purpose of good works and good deeds, man, what's the impact? And are we doing that? And are we doing that cheerfully? Psalm 24, verse 1 says this: the earth is the Lord and all it contains, the world and all those who dwell in it. Wow, that's kind of one of those big verses, like the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Like, I love that. When you see just the simplicity of Psalm 24:1, it is all inclusive. Guess what? It's God's. The world is God's. Everything belongs to God. And when you have that understanding, Haggai 2:8 says, God says, the silver's mine and the gold is mine. Psalm 50 says, the cattle on a thousand hill are mine. Like, when you begin to see through Scripture, guess what? It all belongs to him. Job tells us that the very air we breathe is his. When you understand that, and you understand if God chose to, he could remove oxygen, O2, out of the air in a moment, and every person would collapse because it belongs to him. You don't own the air. The government probably wants to tax it, but you don't, like, they don't own it either, right? Like, God owns the air, and at any moment, he could say, snap his fingers, he could sneeze, and it could be done. Why? Because it's his. But we have the big perspective of how great our God is, that it all belongs to him anyways. It's all his. The silver is his. The gold is his. The oxygen is his. Creation is his. And the world is his. And guess what? All who dwell on it, we belong to him. So when you see this and you start talking finances, you have to realize it all belongs to him. It all belongs to him. The car you drive, it belonged to the ground first, which he created. Like you could go down, everything in your house and everything in your possession, every seat that we sit on came from something he created. Like you've got it. Like you could dig deep in that and have a deep understanding like, okay, yeah, I get it. It truly does all really belong to him. So when you're talking about finances and you're talking about Jesus teaching a parable on being a good steward, then when we have to dive into this, we have to have a deeper understanding that really is, it all belongs to him. It all belongs to him. And he has blessed me. Deuteronomy 8 tells us that he's the one who's given us the power and the ability to get wealth. The only reason that we have the ability to work is because God's given us the ability to work. The power, the authority, and the ability to gain wealth, that only comes from him. So when you start breaking down finances biblically, you have to look at this and say, okay, I need to have the right perspective that it all belongs to him. 100% belongs to him. People love the tithe, 10% we give. That's great, tithes and offerings. I talked about how Randy and I did that last week. It's the first line of the budget, right? Paycheck, we give from the top. I believe that God gets my money before the government gets my money, so we give off of the gross, and he gets the first fruits, and it's the first line, and then we live off the rest. We've always done that from before we were married. We did that. And when you look at this, and you have the right biblical perspective that actually God owns it all. I'm not giving God 10% of my money. But we love to claim mine. Now I'm giving God 10% of that which he's called me to be a good steward of, the 100%. Like that has to be the wisdom in this is to say, God, you own it all. You own 100%. I've got to be a good steward of the 100%, and I'm called to give the tithe and the offering to your work, and that's being a good steward. I want you to understand that when we talk on stewardship, right? Come on, look at this with me, please. Here we go. Verse 14. This is Jesus speaking. He's telling a parable, and he's talking about us, those that he's entrusted with goods, that there will be a day that we will be held accountable. And we will be shown if we have been responsible. Held accountable to be responsible, right? Held accountable to be responsible. And all that will be shown I promise you there's a day that Jesus is going to keep a great account. And we're going to give record to that which we have given. Like we're going to. So this is us being held accountable in stewardship to how responsible we have been. And again, man, goal number one is this really encourages going, yes, I get it. Man, that's high five, God, I'm on target. Or it challenges us to say, okay, God, like, where am I in this? Because if we really have come to know him as Lord and Savior, if we really, truly have understood what conversion really is, old is gone, new is come, I see things differently now, I think on things differently now, I see things through a biblical perspective, my lens is the Bible lens, this is how I see things, you know, all old things have gone, new things have come, and when you understand 2 Corinthians 5:17, you get this, man. All things have been made new. There is a conversion that takes place, and in that, our pocketbook gets converted. It's like, okay, now things are different. And the Lord says this, he says this, for it is like a man about to go on a journey. So this speaks about him, and then this speaks about us, and it speaks about the result. It speaks about him, and then it speaks about what he left behind for us to do. And then he's going to come back and take an account to what we have done and dish out the reward or the punishment. Watch this. This is what it says. For it is like a man about to go on a journey who has called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions. Again, the earth is the Lord and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. It's his possessions. It all belongs to him, right? Entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Watch this, each according to his own ability. And then he went on his journey. You got 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. Here's the kicker, each to his own ability. Each to his own ability, right? When you look at finances today, each to his own ability, that just kind of evens the playing field. So the one with one can't complain about the one with two. The one with two can't complain about the one with five, because God's like, no, it's according to my trusting you is according to what I know that you can do with it and according to your ability. And when you speak about talents, this isn't like you're on the worship team, you're skilled with the guitar, you're skilled on the keyboard, you got a great voice. This isn't what you're talented at. You might be an amazing carpenter. You might be able to work with wood. You might be amazing in your head with digits and accounting. And that's not speaking of your talent. This isn't a talent show. Talent is a volume of money. Five talents was an enormous, enormous amount of money. Two talents was an enormous, enormous amount of money. One talent, full talent, is an enormous amount of money. It's not like the dude with one got gypped. There are scholars who would tell you that one talent is worth a life of wage. That's a lot of money to deal with. So it's not like he got gypped. He's not like the poor dude who got a little bit. But when you see the scale, God's like, it's according to your own ability. All this is very important in this. I want you to see this, right? Gave each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Verse 16, immediately, I love that word, immediately, the one who had received the five talents went and traded with them and gained five more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received two talents, he gained two more. So you see these two top dogs, right? These are the producers. And they're like, listen, man, you've trusted me with five. You've trusted me with two. Immediately, they went out and they got busy. The one five says, okay, it's time to go to work. It's time to trade. It's time to, like, what am I going to do? He's entrusted me with this amount of money. What am I doing with this money to make money for my master? Like, what am I doing? It's not my money. I'm doing it for him, right? He's given me, he's entrusted me with these possessions. What am I going to do with these five talents? Immediately, he got to work, man. He went out and made five more. Same thing with the dude with two, right? The dude with two says, all right, wow, he's entrusted me with two talents. What am I going to do with it, man? I'm going to get busy. It's not my money. It's his money. I'm going to go get busy. And right away, immediately, he starts working. He starts trading. He starts doing what he's doing. And he doubles the money. He produces two more talents, right? So the top two producers, man, big deal. They're out there doing it. They're making money for their master. And then you look at what happens to the one. I'm not going to spend time on the one so much, but I just want you to see it, right? But and then we're looking at verse 18. But he who received the one talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Like, you see the significant difference here. You see a significant difference here. The other two immediately, okay, I get it. Yeah, you've entrusted me with some finances. Time for me to go to work. Time for me to make money. Time for me to invest. Time for me to, and immediately they got to work, was trading, doing what was necessary, double the money. The guy who got the one says, I'm going to just bury it. Huge difference. Huge difference. The one who received the one talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, watch this, and he hid his master's money. I love how Jesus declares again, it's not the one dude's money. You're hiding the master's money. It's not your money. You're hiding the master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and, watch this, settled accounts with them. He settled accounts with them. Church, what happens when we really, we're given a true prophetic word here from Jesus saying, this is what's going to happen in the future. This is a guarantee and this is a promise. And if I'm your pastor, I'm going to encourage you in this and challenge us in this. And I'm hoping this really is encouragement. Like, great. Like, I'm doing what he's called me to do. I know that everything I have comes to him. And I understand the principle of tithes and offerings. I understand the principle of being generous. I get that. And when he settles account with me, I can get excited about that. Right? When you see, and I know that this deals with a financial passage. That Jesus Christ is going to settle an account with me on what I've done with his money, what I've done with his finances, how I've been generous, what I've done as a church generosity, what we do in our tithes and offerings for Renee and I. Like, there will be a day that I will stand before him and he will settle my account financially. Listen, this is dealing with only finances. There is a day that he will settle the account of sin. For those who've stiff-armed truth, for those who've rejected Jesus, for those who've said no to the gospel, for those who have not repented, those who want to live their own life, there is a settlement that's going to happen. And what they hear is, depart from me, for I never knew you. But for us, that settling that account took place for us on the cross, and we get that. There is a settling of my account, as James 3 very clearly tells me, like, Sean, you are up to a stricter judgment. Judgment means I will be judged to how I teach the scriptures. I better be very careful how I unpack this. And church, please hear me. I know that as I study and as I prepare and as I present, I know that God is going to judge this message. I will be under a stricter judgment. I will stand before him on how I handled his word. So there are different accountability and a different way to settle accounts. But Matthew 25, he's dealing strictly, watch this, with our money. I want you to see this. See, look what took place, verse 19 again. And after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. That's a guarantee. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you've entrusted me with 5 talents, and see, I have gained 5 more talents. Like, he's juiced about this, right? He knows he's done a good service. He's excited, not in a pride and arrogant way, but in a serving the master way. Look, it is my desire day after day. Do I nail it every time? No. But it is my desire day after day to go to bed at night saying, Lord, I hope I have pleased you today. I hope that you are proud of me today and everything that I have thought and everything that I have said and everything that I have done. And guess what? That starts in the morning when I get up. God, I want to please you today. God, I want to make you proud of me today. And there is this sense of, God, I hope that you were honored today by me. Like, it's not a pride thing or arrogance thing. It's, I want to please my master, Jesus Christ. When I, watch this, when I called him Lord, that means I'm calling you master, that you are sir, that I surrender to you, and I want to serve you, and I want to honor you, and I want to glorify you, and I want to make you proud of me as you are my king and you are the king of kings and I am under you and I want to serve you as a bond slave and I belong to you and everything I have belongs to you. How did I do today? That's where I want to be at night. Whether that's me and Renee praying or that's just me laying in bed going, God, how did I do today? Because I want to honor you and I want to please you. I want to glorify you. And I see that in this parable, Jesus is speaking. This is a story that Jesus is telling. These are not real players. This is a story that Jesus is telling to make a point. Now watch this. So the dude with 5 comes and he says, listen, look what I have done. You've entrusted me with 5. See, I have gained 5 more talents. And then his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Like, how many people love that statement? Well done, good and faithful servant. Like, there's messages been preached on that. We want to stand before the Lord. And the one thing that I want to hear, you hear me say it, and you hear other pastors say it, the one thing I want to hear is, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. And like, we love this, and we love this, but this is the only place that that full statement is made. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. This is the only place in Matthew 25 that whole statement is found. And guess what? It has to do with one subject, our finances. Isn't that amazing that when you keep the Bible in context, it really just, it just speaks in such a loud way to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. To hear that statement, well done, thy good and faithful servant, it has to do with stewardship. It's a stewardship statement from Jesus. That we would look at this and say, God, how am I doing stewarding that which you've given me? Verse 22, and also the one who had received 2 talents came up and said, Master, you've entrusted 2 talents to me, and see, I have gained 2 more talents. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful a few things, and I put in charge many things. Enter into the joy of your master. I love where Jesus in this parable makes it very clear that it's not how much you have, it is what you do with it. Because the same statement and the same reward is given to the one who had 5 and made 5 and given to the one who had 2 and made 2. It's the exact same statement. You were faithful with little, and now I'll give you much. And then you get to the one. Verse 24 says this, and the one who has said, I received one talent came up to his master. I knew you to be a hard man reaping when you did not sow and gathering. He had a misunderstanding of his master, scattered no seed. I was afraid. Were the other 2 afraid? I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. Like there's a significant difference from those who immediately went and understood the process of gain and the process of what I'm going to do with that which he's given me to be a good steward, to go out and work hard, compared to this one. And this one's outcome wasn't so good. Jesus had taken him and put him in outer darkness. Like the result wasn't the same result. So as Jesus speaks this parable on finances and money, the big idea, this has to do with stewardship, knowing we're going to be held accountable with our responsibility with that which he has given us. And that there'll be a day that he will settle the account. And I love Jesus' teaching, and I love this picture, and I love this parable, because it opens up the door to say, okay, God, I'm excited for that settling of the accounts. I know that I'm just excited about giving, and we're seeing God do a great work, and I know that I am faithful. Like, I know that Renee and I are faithful, and there are moments that the Lord puts on our heart to give more. Whether it's a special offering, which, praise the Lord, we don't do a whole lot of special offerings here. We just believe if everyone does their part in tithes and offerings, we don't have to take up special offerings, right? And I need you to know something. You've heard me say this many times, and I'll say it many times more so that everybody hears this, who's here and who's online. I don't know who gives. If you give a significant gift and it's a one-time deal, unless you've come talk to me about it, like, hey, listen, there's times that people are like, hey, listen, I really want to talk to you about this. This is what I'm feeling. I want to do this for the church, and it's a large amount. That's fine. If you want to do that, praise the Lord, that's great. I don't know who gives in this church. I don't know what your tithes and offerings are. I don't know what you make. I don't care what you make. I don't. But when you understand, like, the pastor doesn't know what you give, therefore you don't get my favor because you give more. I don't want it. You're not a front row seat with your name on it because you give more than someone else. No one's name is going on this building because you donated to pay the building. Like, that's just, we're not here about a name. We're here about the name that is above every name. And when we see God's principle in giving, we look at those who had five, made five, those who had two, made two, and the reward was the same. And you look at as we spoke last week, Luke 21, 1 through 4, the woman with two mites, God's like, listen, she gave more than everybody else that gave. Her name didn't go on a plaque, and their name didn't go on a plaque. It was Jesus' name. And when you understand that, it removes anything from me to ever walk in sin to look at you differently because you gave more than the one next to you. Like, I'm never going to do that. I don't want to do that. So I don't know your giving. But man, when you understand the mighty work of this church, and you look at what it means to be a good steward, and you look at times when the Lord says, okay, I want you to bless a little more. I want to read a text to you that I got this morning. This is a great text, and the timing of it is amazing. My friend's name is Marvin, and Marvin, I met Marvin at a hotel here locally. Renee and I are getting some work done on the kitchen, and when they come in and work on the kitchen, we go to a hotel and we hang overnight while they work on the kitchen. And this was a Wednesday night, Thursday morning. I was up early Thursday morning. I'm doing the free breakfast, which is great. Of course, I usually fast on Thursday, so my free breakfast is coffee and juice. So I'm just sitting, they make money on us. I sit there, Bible's open, pens are out, highlighters are out, studying, just kind of tearing up the scripture. And I hear a gentleman, I overhear someone say, hey, just so you know, that's the pastor of Believer's Chapel. I'm like, oh, where's this going? You know, when you hear that, you're like, okay, either they're throwing something at you. But my friend works at a company that travels, and they go into places, they do like cleaning of huge businesses. He's been working through Simon's here locally, and they sleep at the Hampton Inn, him and his crew. And he came over and he sat down with me. I had probably about a 30-minute conversation with my friend Marvin. He loves the Lord. He's a pastor of a small church, working a full-time job, but yet a pastor of a small church in Farmington. And we just had an amazing conversation. Amazing conversation. He loves the Lord. Just was able to just encourage him in different things. And he's like, you know, I drove by your church, and when I heard that, when the guy told me that you're the pastor of that church, I just wanted to talk with you. Because I've been driving by, and I wanted to just see what that church is about. I'm like, well, listen, bro, it's Thursday. I want you to come with me on Thursday night tonight. I need you to come with me tonight. We got dinner at 6. We work through. You'll be see the ministry. We prepare for Sundays. Worship team is practicing Thursday nights. They're getting ready for Kingdom Kids on Thursday nights. I said, just come see the show. Come eat dinner with us. Come hang out. We pray together. Just come be a part of the night. So my man Marvin, he's excited to get done with work. Shows up at 5:55 or 5:50, immediately walks in the building. He's just a part of the family. He's laughing, telling us stories, and just, he blended so well. It was great. My heart went out to him. I said, all right, let's just come up to my office for a minute. And Believer's Chapel wrote him a check for $1,000. I met him 12 hours earlier than that. I'm like, listen, this is for your church. Big fella, you do with this what you need. I just feel like we need to bless your ministry and bless your church. I want to write you a check for $1,000. Like, church, how many people in your life that you met 12 hours ago and they're putting a check in your hand for $1,000, right? So this was us. And I told them, this is Believer's Chapel, not me, not my money. It's Believer's Chapel. Here's a check for your ministry for $1,000. And I need you to do with it whatever you feel needed. And, you know, the last conversation through text that I had with him was June 23rd. I have been praying for him as I remember him. He, as far as I know, he doesn't know that I'm preaching on finances. Right? So I just trusted the Lord. Okay, Lord, I feel like I need to write a check for $1,000 on behalf of Believer's Chapel from the great people of this church. I'm trusting that this is right and that he'll do whatever necessary. I don't care if he bought a sound system. I'm like, dude, no strings attached. I believe it's your money that God's called you to do whatever you need to do for your church. And you talk about stewardship. And I left it at that. Didn't think two thoughts about it. It was the Lord's, and I'm like, okay, good. He sends me a text this morning at 9:25. Remember, last conversation was June 23rd through text. This is his text this morning at 9:25. I love this. Talk about stewardship. Good morning, Pastor Sean. Wanted to again say thanks for the church's investment to us here in Farmington. We matched that donation and sent it on a missions trip to Guatemala, where we will build two houses and help finish the church. Praise the Lord. Like, you listen, church. And I love this because I'm thinking, like, maybe he could use a sound system. Like, and I asked him, I said, buddy, what do you need? Like, well, we need this, and we need a sound system, and we need this. And he went through a list. I said, listen, I know this isn't like paying off all the debt, but here's $1,000, and we want to just say bless you and use it for anything on that list that you want. And he's like, yeah, okay, great. But their mind is, we're going to take it. We're going to double it. We're going to send it off to Guatemala, where you're going to have two houses, and we're going to finish a church with that. How about that for stewardship? That's amazing, church. I love that. I love that comes in this morning at 9:25. Incredible. Incredible. And man, when you look at this, if you would turn me, please, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is kind of like the, you can read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and then 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and it's kind of like the big idea of New Testament giving, right? A lot of people will go to this, me included, will go to this and say, this is a beautiful, beautiful picture of what New Testament giving looks like. I believe in the tithe. I believe in the principle of the tithe. I believe that it carries over. We can have a great conversation about that, but I believe in generosity. And it's amazing, truly amazing to me, that people try to find scriptures and do whatever they possibly can do to get out of giving. They watch messages from these people is how to get out of giving to the church. You no longer have to give. You no longer. It's amazing to me that people work so hard on finding ways not to give. I'm just telling you that in my own spirit, when I hear that or see that, my heart immediately goes to, well, do you really know Jesus? If you're a Christian, try and find ways not to give. You've missed the character of God in giving. You've missed the idea of what God looks for giving. You've missed the idea that it all belongs to Him. It truly, it's amazing to me that for those that have an understanding that God created the heavens and the earth, we stand on the very ball that He created, and we blew it, man. The ball is a train wreck, and in that, God Almighty had to send His own Son to leave heaven, put Himself on earth, live this amazing, perfect life to fix issues that we created and caused because of sin, got beaten so badly and shredded with a whip, nails in His hand, thorns on His forehead, hung on a cross to fix the issue that we created so that God loved the world that he would send his own son to fix the world and to fix our sin, that we could be in eternal bliss in heaven and forever be saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He did all that for us. And there's people who say they love Jesus, but they do everything they can to try to get out of giving. It makes zero sense to me. Shocks me, actually. Instead, it should be, Lord, I owe you everything. I owe you everything for what you've done for me. I'm amazed by you. I thank you, and I want to bless. And I want to bless. Because we take on the character of God, and God so loved the world that he gave. So if you bought into some idiot teaching on how not to give, I encourage you to be challenged by today. And flip the script and be reminded what we have been saved from and the sacrifice that was made, and that we should be in a place to say, God, it's all yours, and I owe you everything. It changes your perspective quickly. 2 Corinthians 9 says this, verse 6, and I want you to know, man, throughout all of Scripture, like Scripture's written in reaping and sowing terms. Scripture's written in farming terms. A farmer knows what it is to throw seed. A farmer knows what it is in the meaning of sowing. The more you sow, the more you reap. The farmer knows if I plant lots of seed, I'm going to get a large harvest. If I plant a little seed, I'm going to get a little harvest. So the seeds that I plant determines the crop that I bear. And it's Bible term, Genesis to Revelation, you reap what you sow. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, he shall also reap. It's a principle to the words that I speak. It's a principle to the actions that I have. And it's a principle to the finances that I own. Like there's the reality of these three areas. Words that I speak, you will reap what you sow in the words that you speak. You will reap what you sow in the actions that you have. And you will reap what you sow in regards to finances. And here we're speaking of finances, right? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 says this. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly, again, farming terms, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. He who sows sparingly, reaps sparingly. Little seed, little fruit. Lots of seed, lots of fruit. I mean, people are like, yeah, that's not complicated. That sounds like real simple, because it is. Each one must do as purposed in his heart, not grudgingly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Listen, church, when we understand, I don't give because I have to give. Yes, there Old Testament, there was the tithe and there was the taxes and there was the taxes and all of this different theology from Old Testament. You can see it, read it, study it. Yeah, they gave at times out of duty. But also in the Old Testament, you see they gave out of desire. They gave out of obedience in desire. Like, I want us to give not out of duty, but out of desire, not out of compulsion, not because I have to, not grudgingly, not like, here comes a basket again. I don't want to give anything. Like that shouldn't be our heart. This is what he says. We're not called to give out of compulsion. We're not called because we're forced to. We're not called because we don't want to grudgingly, like, I don't want to do this. Like, that's not what we're called. The blessing isn't in that. It's not blessing in that. But we're called to give cheerfully out of our abundance because God loves a cheerful giver. It says this, please hear this, I want you to see it. Verse 8 says this, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. What's the impact of our giving here at Believer's Chapel? Church, we're just a sliver in the big picture of church, man. We're just a sliver. But what is when you unpack this, what's it look like? And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, always having all sufficiency in everything, that you may have an abundance for every good deed or every good work. And church, man, we want to have an understanding of the impact that we're making here in this community. And the finances that we have, we're in a healthy place financially, and I'm pumped about it, man. I'm juiced about our finances. But man, when you look at, say, okay, well, what are we doing locally? What are we doing overseas financially? Like when you look, we do give a mission organization called Heritage of Flame. David Hearn, he's on the board here. I served with David for many years. Love David Hearn. Love Heritage of Flame. Mission organization. When you give to this church, a portion of that goes to Heritage of Flame. That goes to India. That goes to Africa. That goes to so many different places doing a beautiful, amazing work. And we love that, and that's amazing. There's fruit in that. God's rewarding that. There's blessing in that. But in all of that, my heart is this, man. It's our own backyard. Because we're seeing finances go overseas, and it's amazing. We're seeing churches being built. It's amazing. Like, we're seeing that. It's incredible, right? And then when you start looking and doing research, what God is doing overseas, that the church is alive, man. There are so many people coming to Christ in Africa. So many people coming to Christ. There's a move of the Lord in India. There's a move of the Lord. And all of the crazy and all of the what's taking place, when you really see what God is doing, it is an amazing reminder that there are so many. God is moving in all of these countries in such a powerful way, and it's beautiful. And man, they are just the forefront, man. And it's now I'm like, man, what about our own backyard? I've always been about our own backyard. Yes, missions is important, and yes, we've always sown as a church. We've always sown in the missions, but my heart has always been our own backyard. What are we doing in this region? What are we doing? That's why we have a VBS. That's why we have such a huge VBS. We listen. VBS is a huge investment financially. Huge investment. I mean, when you look at what that looks like, and we had to actually rent a store. We now rent a storage unit to store a lot of these different things so we can reuse them and not really waste any money. We're going to reuse a lot of these different things. We're going to trailer them to VBS and use them up at Kingdom Bound for VBS at Kingdom Bound. We're going to turn them into different themes for even next year's VBS and different things throughout the year. Like, we really are saying, okay, how do we steward this well with the creativity of what we can make? And VBS is a huge investment. Listen, if you look at what's happening here in this church, what's happening here from 18 and under, church, we invest a huge, huge amount, a huge dollar amount to 18 and under. We've had pastors come through this building that are not local, and they walk around our Kingdom Kids, and they walk around this building, and they look and say, that's how you do it. That's why they have kids. They invest, man. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where your money goes is your priority. We love 18 and under. We love what takes place in this ministry in 18 and under. We love what's going on in Breakaway. Like, you see, because there are people who trust us with teenagers and trust us with Breakaway, that they're like, listen, anyone who wants to go to Kingdom Bound will write in the check. Why? Because they see the value of Breakaway and what's going on. Well, man, we invest a ton in our teenagers. Like, there's very little in our 18 and under ministry that kids have to pay for. I love that this church is so generous because it allows us to do so much more with such a spirit of excellence, with such a way that you look at that 18 and under, you look at the Globe Ministry, that's 5th to 8th grade. They do a ton of different events paid for. We don't charge for that. You look at Flourish. These young ladies, 9th to 12th grade, they go on so many great trips and do a lot of different things paid for. The food paid for, like it's paid for. We don't charge. You look at Defenders, that's the 5th to 8th grade boys. They do a lot of really cool, amazing, fun things. We don't charge for that, it's paid for. Look at the Warriors, that's the 9th to 12th grade boys. These young men do some crazy, fun events, paid for. Well, it all costs money. It all costs money to hang in a level of excellence. That's because of the generosity of this church. Because we're seeing a great work in this region. We want to raise up a generation that is bold, that is courageous, that is fearless, that look at the nonsense and the crazy and the lies of the crazy society we live in and say, you guys are nuts. Like, that's such a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. And they're bold and they're strong and they're fearless to call out the nonsense of the lies of the enemy trying to take out their own generation. And we're able to invest so much into these ministries. So much into these young adults. we have the Bridge Ministry, which is our college ministry. And you look at the investment in our college students in this church that has been from the very beginning. Listen, I love the adults, and I love pastoring adults. But I there's a special place in my heart to the college kids and to the high school kids. Because they are the now, man. They're the ones taking hits. They're the ones in the next generation. They're the ones who are going to be bold. They're the ones who will carry the Bible, carry the sword, and do a great work. And that college age kid's got to get them from here to there. That's why it's called the Bridge, to get them from here to there, to get them through these amazing decisions in life, to get them into that career that they have, the spouse or the girl or the man that they're going to date. And look at what does that look like? Because I'm coming into this maturity of wanting and desiring a relationship with the opposite sex, by the way. It's godly. And then we look at what it means to get a job and a career and provide. And there's so much going on that from the very beginning, we look at what's happening at Houghton College. We look at what's happening at Pitt Bradford. We look at what's happening at Bonaventure. We look at what's happening at JCC and any surrounding colleges. The kids just, they find themselves here and they love BC. And I love that our services, like first service is full. Even in the summer, man, full, like 9 o'clock was full this morning. It's amazing. What happens when you throw about 100 college kids in it? It's unbelievable. But from the very beginning, we said, listen, if you're a college student and you drive and you put kids in your car, we're going to put gas in your car. Like, this is the deal. Like, we give them a $20 gas card for every gas for every student that drives from Houghton, Pitt Brad, Bonas, or even JCC students. It's an amazing blessing. Church, I want you to know something. There are weeks that cost us about $800 a week when college is going. You do the math. That's a lot of money. Oh, this church, and I mean this church, all of us, we have such a heart for that age that we invest in that age. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. Man, we make a huge investment. The gas cards that we used to give a couple years ago, they don't go as far today. However, we still give them $20 a gas card to help. You imagine that at times is $800 a week. It's 40 gas cards. And of course that goes to other people who need gas cards. We give gas cards to those who don't have money and they need to get to a hospital. Like, there's a lot of reasons to do gas cards, and it's a blessing. But we love this generation, and that's a huge investment, and that's impact. I had a parent call me, and they were blown away by their daughter, and they were like, my daughter called me and said, Mom, I want you to know, I found a church. And I can't wait to take you to church. And Mom is like, is this my daughter's roommate? Is this my daughter? Like, my daughter's calling me after she'd gone to college, juiced about church. Mom, it's 45 minutes away. And when you come for parent weekend, we're going to church. Like, if you have kids of a college age, you know that's like the phone call you want, man. That's like, what? Like, oh, they preach the Bible. Worship is amazing. They're really on target. I can't wait to take you to church. Mom, you've taken me to church all my life. And I can't wait to take you to church. Mom and Dad come and they're blown away by the church that their daughter's juiced about. Says, hey, this gas card thing, here's a check for $4,000. Keep doing that. Like, that's what happens, church. That's what happens. Because it's worth it. When you look at BC Blessings, which is an amazing ministry that we have that goes out to a lot of people during the Christmas season, hurting, broken people who just don't have the finances. We love our single moms. We love the single dads who are doing everything they possibly can do to make ends meet and bring something for food on their table for Christmas or presents under the tree for their kids. And we love to encourage and build and help those who are broken and hurting financially. Not the lazy. We have become such a stinking lazy society that it's those, listen, the Bible is clear, man. If you don't work, you don't eat. Put that over social services and the liberal agenda. That'll shut down socialism real quick. You don't work, you don't eat. It's simple. It's not complicated. Quit giving to the healthy who can work, but they choose not to because they're lazy. The Bible has a lot to say about laziness, and it's not favorable, right? Laziness is a sin. And this church, we understand that. We vet people. We don't just give blind money to people blindly. We don't do that. We vet people. We ask, well, do you have a job? Well, why don't you have a job? Well, I'm sorry. We can't give you guys money because you don't work. Go get a job. Go work. You're healthy. Go to work. Well, the government, I make more money staying at home. You're lazy. Go to work. I want you to know BC Blessings helps the poor in an amazing season where you really look at what that means, where the Bible is very clear, man. If you take care of the poor, I will take care of you. That's what the Lord said. Those who are generous to the poor will prosper. Those who are generous to the poor will prosper. Again, reaping and sowing. So church, when you look at the impact that this little sliver called Believer's Chapel is able to do in our region, you look at our volleyball courts, man, we're juiced about volleyball. We're going to have a league coming up probably Monday night starting probably in August. First Monday in August is a good possibility. We're opening that up to the community. We probably, a low ball figure, talking to some people, we probably saved over $10,000 doing that the way we did it with the generous gifts of so many people and just the people who know what, how to do what they do. Doing it ourselves, we probably saved over 10 grand in many different. We want to do everything we can to be good stewards, but we want to bless the community that we are in. It's just another way to bless the community. So there's so much of what's taking place here in this church that costs a lot of money. And God has supplied every need. As I spoke last week, we have one debt in this church. I can't wait to declare that we are debt free. I don't want to take on debt. I don't want to be a church that's in debt. We have everything that we own here, everything we own BC West, everything we own, everything is paid for except for $235,000. We make double payments. We're in an amazing place financially that remains on this $1.25 million building. We owe $235,000, and we've been for quite a long time now been able to make double payments to that. And it's just amazing. It's incredible. And I love bringing reports, and I love being able to one day say we have zero debt, and there's just a lot more that we can do. We are a church, even on staff. Our staff is paid very well, but we're low on staff. Not in a way because we can't find people, in a way like we don't need a lot of staff. Our staff works hard. We have two full-time staff members, and everyone else is part-time, and they work their butts off, but they get paid well for it, as they should. They work hard. We have the greatest staff on the planet. We laugh. We cry, we work, we pray, and God works in such a powerful way. We're able to do that because of the volunteer base that we have in this church is unmatched. The volunteer base in this church is unmatched. It's amazing. It's incredible. And this is truly a very special place that is just making an impact in our area. We are excited about just light overtaking darkness. We're excited about what's happening locally. That now, man, people are starting to think twice about the nonsense and the crazy that different things are trying to be sold. The people are like, man, maybe that's not right. Maybe, you know, I don't want to get into a whole lot right now. I already have many times, but we're seeing a good work. We're seeing God begin to change some minds and hearts, and we're seeing the biggest picture. Biggest pictures, we're seeing many come to Christ. We're seeing husbands beginning to own their position as a husband and a father and lead the house spiritually. We're seeing wives walk into place to honor their husbands. We're seeing kids excited about church. Teenagers can't wait to go. Every Wednesday, there's between 30 and 50 teenagers, if not more, every Wednesday night. That costs money. We feed them once a month, and then we do a lot of extras during the week. Like, there's a lot of money going out. But we're seeing so many lives changed. We're praying for families. We're believing for 200 kids strong weekly in Kingdom Kids. We want to see that. We want families. We want to make an impact in this region that we are in such a powerful way. Come on, if you could just stand to your feet with me, please. Tracy's going to sing, and as she sings, I know we're a little late, but it's worth it, and we'll get into that series next week, Reward in the Waiting. Man, if you need prayer for any reason, please come on up as we sing. We'd love to pray over you. Come on.